Back, we have a very special guest with us, the pride of Cartersville, Georgia, one of my favorite Bulldog O-linemen ever, the great Josh Brock. You hear him a lot on the Georgia Bulldogs radio network. He covers Cartersville High School, involved a lot with the recruiting camps. And Josh, this guy knows the offensive line. He knows football as good as anybody. Josh, buddy, first of all, you got two kids now. You got a dog. I mean, you guys are just, what'd you say? Are you in man-to-man or zone defense?
We're in man-to-man coverage, my friend, and we've added a dog to that, too.
So you got two dogs?
Two dogs.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's right. You're going to get two on one there. That's trouble. Josh, how excited are you about Georgia this season?
Man, I can't wait. You know, anticipation runs high before every season, but they're just something feels different this year than it has in the past. I can't wait for next Saturday.
Yeah, there are a couple of positions, and the offensive line is the obvious one where Georgia has just gotten better, bigger, deeper. Another spot that I see, Josh, and I could even go back to 2 years ago, nothing against those guys that were playing then. I swear, JB, I think Georgia's second team secondary, I think every one of those guys would have started for the 2017 team. Maybe I'm crazy. That's just my take on it. I think that's the other position where Georgia's just gotten noticeably better in a hurry.
I'd agree with you 100%, JD, and I think the reason for that is that's where the game's played now. Mm. It's such a perimeter-driven, not only SEC, but college football. Everything is driven to the perimeter, and your receivers and your running backs and your tight ends and everybody doing things out of the backfield. That's where the game's played. So, yeah, you got to focus recruiting in the secondary, and, boy, we have a good one.
Josh, let's talk offensive line for a second. That is really your area of expertise. We know how good Georgia is at tackle with Thomas and Wilson. You got Mays and Salyer coming up. Mays can play all over the place, so can Salyer. A spot where I think Georgia's really good is at guard, and maybe if there is such a thing, an unheralded player up there, and the pro scouts absolutely love Solomon Kinley. I mean, I think that's a guy who's a little bit under the radar who could have a huge year.
Well, he was under the radar last year. I think when I saw one list yesterday, he's preseason All-America along with his buddy Andrew Thomas. So no more under the radar for Solomon Kinley. But talk about a guy from last year to this year who's gotten better more on Georgia's offensive line. It's a tight run between Solomon Kinley and Isaiah Wilson.
And for Isaiah, one of the things, and we talked about this, it kind of hit home for me. I remember back in 1994, I was a young student working for the great Claude Felton. We brought in this big junior college defensive tackle named Matt Storm. He was a good player. But his first few practices in this August heat, I mean, absolutely just devastated him. It took a while. So I think, Josh, you and I both figured when Isaiah got down from New York, it'd take him a little time, but you could see his progression throughout the season. And now when you think about what Georgia's got at the tackles with he and Andrew Thomas, who knows, could be a top five pick, if not the number one overall pick. I mean, this is as good as Georgia's been at tackle, you know, at the very least in the 21st century.
Oh, I'd agree with that. I think when you look at the talent of those two individuals, and you know, to me, if you're going to try to have an edge rush presence against Georgia this year, and that's going to be your plan of attack, you might want to change that because between those two guys and some of the support they get from not only the interior linemen but the tight ends and the running backs with their chip blocks coming out of the backfield. Isaiah and Andrew, you know, if I'm Jake Fromm, you know, I'm making sure those boys have everything they could possibly imagine every week.
So it seems like just about every week now we get treated to a wonderful Twitter video of Sam Pittman giving us the old yes, sir, when we land a new offensive lineman commit. Obviously, this past weekend we got Van Praun. What's kind of a key attribute that an offensive line coach has to have to be able to keep bringing in these guys that want to play for him?
I think the key attribute for him is the way he uses them. If you look at last season, and everybody understands that winning the SEC is almost as much to do about the war of fighting the war of attrition versus just beating your opponent week in and week out. When you have injuries and things like that, you see guys playing all over the place. You know, Cade Mays played in three different positions last year. Solomon Kinley rotated a couple of positions. Trey Hill rotated a couple of positions. I mean, when injuries come, I think it's easy for him to go say, hey, look, You're going to learn from the best. You're going to compete with the best. And if you're a starting offensive lineman for the University of Georgia, there's never been a time in my lifetime that you can recollect that that any one of those guys is an NFL draft pick. They all are, every single one of them. And in some cases, every single one of them is an NFL draft pick too deep. And so when they come in and they get the opportunity to play, I think that's the continual message that he sends to recruits, and that's why he keeps getting them.
And Josh, I mean, it could be a deal. Cade Mays and Jamari Sawyer might not start this year. They might. They might go into next season basically as first-time regular starters and start 1 year and be top 10, top 15 draft picks.
Oh, 100%. You know, and I think that you see that because very rarely do you have the Andrew Thomases come around that's just a lock, right? I mean, he was a first-round lock coming out of high school.
Sure.
I think most everyone recognized that. But also, too, though, look at what he's doing, the way he uses the guys. Talk about raising your NFL stock. Be able to play two positions or sometimes more than two positions on an offensive line. You're creating value with those guys, and they get it. And I think that's the thing that's so unique, because you can plug and play whoever, wherever, with the exception of tackles, and really not miss a beat. And it's impressive.
Josh, what's your take on the wide receiver situation for the Dogs?
I'll tell you what, you're excited about the secondary. I'm excited about the wide receivers.
Nice.
And it's not because people don't know who these guys are, and it's not because they're not good. It's just because they played behind three NFL draft picks last year.
Right.
I mean, you got to think about that. You got Terry Godwin, you got Mecole Hardman, and all these other guys, and Isaac Nauta gets out and gets into the league as well. You have guys being picked up all over the place by NFL teams. Well, they haven't had a chance to see Matt Landers. They haven't had a chance to see George Pickens. They haven't had a chance to see these guys come out and compete in a game. And honestly, a lot of those things, to me, is what leads to the excitement for the receiving core. Not to mention that you have Jake Fromm, who, by the way, loves throwing the football and loves throwing it deep and can do anything and everything from the quarterback position.
Who do you think is going to be the number one guy out of that receiving core?
I'd be shocked if it's not George Pickens. I mean, if not based on his catch that somehow leaked out of a scrimmage a couple of weeks ago, that I'm sure that person's probably had their media rights revoked for the rest of their life in the Athens or Sanford Stadium. But I think from his physical abilities to stretch the field and that type of size and that type of speed, I'd be surprised if it isn't him. But also, too, don't sleep on Charlie Warner. I know he's not in the wide receiver group. He's in tight end. He's in the tight end group. Charlie looks better and more ready to play than he has since he stepped on campus in Athens. But also, too, Demetrius Robinson. I mean, I think the way that they'll use him in that slot receiver, be able to do so many different things. And in all honesty, I mean, Mecole Hardman was a superior talent, of course, but Demetrius Robinson's a better receiver than Mecole was, and that's kind of scary to think about, year two into a system for him. But I look for George Pickens to be the leader of that group.
And I'm glad you brought up Charlie Warner. He's one of my favorite players. Number one, he is just a great guy. He's obviously got the family lineage. His uncle Scott's one of the best players that George has ever had. He's had a terrific career. He's really good. When he comes across the formation, when Georgia runs that little counter, just sealing with that outside backer, he's got great hands. And he could be one of those guys. And when you talk about winning a championship, you know, he and Nauta have obviously been splitting a lot of time. But this is now his time to be the guy, no question about it. I see him having just a tremendous senior season, Josh.
Yeah, I think the way he's been used is because he's such a good blocker and he is so physical at the point of attack. And that makes you forget the fact that, oh, yeah, the guy is a tremendous athlete and can go catch the ball very, very well, and also, too, creates the mismatches. He's faster than he looks. He plays faster than he looks, and so I'm excited to see what the season has in store for him.
All right, I got a tweet in from a big Bulldog fan, MB. MB says, number 87, Tyler Simmons, look out for him. I love Tyler Simmons, and to me, he's a prime example of a guy. We had all that depth at receiver, but if Hardman and Godwin, had they gone other places, you know, Tyler Simmons probably catches 40, 45 balls last season.
Yeah, and, you know, Tyler's kind of one of those guys, too. He ran a lot of decoy routes last year. If you go back and look at some of the film, there were a lot of times where you'd see Tyler Simmons occupying a secondary player on another team 25, 30 yards downfield, creating space underneath. Well, now he's not going to be the decoy route runner. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the one being targeted. And that's why I think, you know, when you look at him, this is a guy, has he played significant snaps at the receiver position? No. But has he played significant snaps in a game in meaningful ball games? Yes, because he's been playing as a special team starter since day one. And a lot of times, you know, when folks get nervous about the fact that these receivers haven't really had a ton of playing time, well, they haven't had a ton of playing time at catching the football in a game, but they've been on the field causing problems for opposing teams since they got there. They just haven't been able to supplant, you know, some NFL draft picks, which you can certainly understand.
Josh, we beat Auburn today 27-10 on the SEC Network, just to let you know. And
we beat Auburn's a great day.
It's a great day, isn't it, buddy? But just watching that, and I was reminded how great Kirby is with the clock. And when that first half was winding down, he let it get down to 29 seconds. We had a fourth down. We hit the touchdown play to Godwin. For a coach going into his fourth year, and I think we could even see it his first year, that game at Missouri, the way he uses the timeouts, the way he understands the clock, and obviously he was a protege of one of the best ever. He is really beyond his years when it comes to that part of the coaching with the clock, with the timeouts.
Yeah, and it helps too when you're playing ahead, and a lot of times,
yes,
Georgia has played ahead and can use the clock to their advantage. And you're right, that's something that if you were to look at year one, you could probably pick out a few gaffes where he made some mistakes. But the one thing that we know about Kirby Smart is he learned from those mistakes, and you haven't seen them again. And so his growth and his maturation as being a head coach of a really good football team is kind of unfolding and has unfolded right before our eyes. Yes, he can recruit, but, man, the in-game decision-making that he has, whether it be to have a fake punt or to call a particular play or certain things here and there, or call a timeout that's needed. I think back to the Rose Bowl against Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I mean, that calmness that he had right before half, those three points that Rod got us right before half,
saved the game.
Made all the difference. Made all the difference. And so those things, those little things, right, that no one at the end of the day pays a whole lot of attention to, man, they ultimately make just a tremendous difference in the grand scheme.
We're talking with former Bulldog great Josh Brock, who joins us as the Mighty Munchman, to say on a car phone from up in Cartersville. Josh, I think one of the things we're going to see with James Coley this year, we talked about Charlie Werner there. I think about James Cook. I think about as Zamir gets his feet wet, getting back out and playing in games here and not just practice. Just getting some matchups, and as good as this offensive line is, I just have these visions of some NFL-type offensive scheming where you get James Cook matched up on a linebacker or swing it to Zamir White out of the backfield, where Georgia could get some huge advantageous coverage situations.
I agree with that. You go back a couple of years ago, and you don't really recognize the impact a Sony Michel-type player has on a game. Well, James Cook is Sony Michel, but runs a 4.240, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I think is going to be impactful for us to see. And I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see one, two, or all of them in the backfield on the field at some point in time in some type of offensive scheme together. And you can use that because of James Cook's ability. You can flex him off the line of scrimmage just a little bit, slot receiver type, or a wingback type of position for him, because he's talented enough to be able to do that. I think James Coley is sitting there kind of licking his chops and talking about the opportunities of being so multiple in Georgia's offensive scheme this year, whereas they haven't really always had the benefit of being able to do that. And so I think it's going to be one of those things. I'm excited to see how he uses them. And again, you've got a quarterback in Jake Fromm that loves to be back in the shotgun and loves,
yes,
to just dice it all, drop it all over the field. And so use the guys, use their ability, and let's go do it.
Josh, you're the best, man. That was a fast 18 minutes.
It was. It's awesome. Football season's here, man. It's 95 degrees outside, but football season's here.
That's right.
Hey, I just remember you telling me once the worst thing, though, especially for linemen, is playing when it rains. Those pads and the jerseys just get so heavy.
Oh, I hated it. Playing in the rain is the worst. And nowadays, you know, playing on all the, with all this turf that you have, all those little pellets just get stuck to you. Linemen, you're already heavy enough as it is. And then when you get extra water added onto you, I mean, nobody needs to be wearing, you know, 10 pounds worth of clothes. It's just not possible.
Josh, you're the best, my friend. Let's do this again soon. I really appreciate you coming on. I'm so happy for you guys and the full house, and just very proud of everything that you've been able to do, and including finding a set of rims at 2 o'clock in the morning for a former teammate one time.
Hey, whatever it takes, my friend.
That's awesome.
JB, you're the best, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, JD. Talk to you, man.
All right, Josh Brock. I told you, he's awesome. Is that the first time you heard Josh?
That is.
With us?
That is.
He's terrific.
I'd be interested to know about that rim story.
It's a heck of a story. I'll have to tell you in our XM edition.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.